right, we're here. It's Tuesday. It is Tuesday the 9th of July. We just got done with a very long holiday.
Yes.
And there's a lot of crazy announcements that Wendell's very excited to tell you about.
Oh my goodness. There's a lot of... it was a very long holiday because everyone had to work over the holiday. At least anybody that does anything as far as like hardware or graphics cards or anything like that. Probably a lot of people in AMD. Probably a lot of people in Intel working like... freaking out.
Tearing sackcloth and ashes, tearing their hair and clothes.
Well, we certainly had a lot of fun doing the Intel skit, which is a lot of fun. But we actually had a lot of content. So AMD's released a whole bunch of new processors, and those are the Ryzen 3000 series based on the Zen 2 microarchitecture. And also, they've released their Navi, their codename Navi GPUs, which is GPUs based around RDNA, the Radeon 5700 and the 5700 XT. So, the first thing we get a plug is all the level 1 content.
Yeah. Wendell made this himself.
Yeah.
I wasn't around to help with the graphics, and he was like, look what I made. It's isn't beautiful.
It it's Frylock, but it's, and then it's like setting fire to Intel. This is actually a screen grab from our
is
little
that
Intel
actually
skit.
I just realized what that was in that top corner. Oh, wow. Very creative.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's kind of what it
looks like. I get what you're going for.
And, yeah. You know, you can kind of see that.
I smell what you're stepping in.
But we've got a full review of the GPUs and the CPUs. And there's actually an article. Like, this article is pretty long. There's a lot here.
It's, you've added more since
yes.
I first looked at it, so.
But there's also more content. So Epos Vox came down, and he does a lot of stuff with audio and video and multimedia. And we're working on the audio.
Hopefully it's better this week. But there's only two of us, too, so.
Yeah, it's hard to mic for three people in a way that doesn't require a lot of tedious editing. Like, if you mic for three people, it works really well with a multicam setup where you have one camera for each person, and then each person's mic is into a camera, and then you can go between that. But when you have three channels of audio, mixing those properly is a challenge.
Especially because me and Ryan have quieter voices, and your voice is louder. And
yeah, well,
and the air conditioner's on. And
theoretically, you figure all that out on the mixer, but we're terrible at that. So, but anyway, there's some really good content here around multimedia and encoding, and a lot of unique content. Like the Radeon 5700, RX 5700 is actually faster than a 2080 Ti. Yes, for encoding type workloads, that's actually true. The HEVC codec is beast mode, and actually H.264 is good too. But AMD has a lot of like user interface bugs, or I'm not sure if it's AMD or like Open Broadcaster, but like the UI is objectively bad. And it's been like that for a while, and it's like, okay, like, I don't care whose fault it is, we just need to fix it.
That sounds like something I've said in meetings before when critiquing other designers' UI. I don't care whose fault it is, let's just get it done so it's done well.
And also, the B450, it's like, can you run a 12-core processor on the Tomahawk B450? Turns out you can, and that actually works really well. So that's exciting because, you know, if you already have an AMD motherboard, you can just get a faster processor, and that's literally it.
What was the analogy you used to describe that?
It's like the Tomahawk B450, I mean, let's face facts here. It's got a cut-down network, it's got cut-down audio, it's basically like a frame with four wheels, a gas pedal, a brake, and like one seat. And like, that's what you get.
Not even a steering wheel.
But you can drop a 12-core processor in that sucker, and it works fine. So, I mean, you know, it's like, what am I paying for with some of the like higher-end boards? But with the higher-end boards, I mean, you pay more, you get more. But man, that B450 board, I can't believe the 12-core basically will run continuously on that board. Now, it needs a lot of cooling. You got to have, like, you know, a lot of airflow in your case, but basically it's fine. So there's budget options. We also reviewed the Gigabyte Aorus Master, which is awesome. It's like 14 real phases directly into the CPU, so you can imagine it's an overclocking beast. And also the Tai Chi X570 for launch. I think we were one of the few people that could get 4.5 gigahertz all-core on the 3900X at a not entirely unreasonable 1.45 to 1.47 volts. It was not perfectly stable. It depends on what you're doing. But for even the content creation workloads, 4.5 at 1.45 volts is pretty good.
I'll trust your opinion on that.
I don't know.
There's going to be a lot of videos about this in the few next, probably like what, week, 2 weeks? Who knows? Probably forever.
Yeah, with all the press kits, there's probably like 50 different videos on the processors and GPUs alone. Generally, a lot of people were super impressed with the CPUs. There were last-minute updates to the UEFI, which changed the performance story a little bit. Like, some reviewers were like, Intel's still a little bit ahead for one-thread, like, single-threaded stuff. But that wasn't really true in our testing. For some artificial benchmarks it was, but not really everything, and not even gaming. And I think that was just down to if you were running older UEFI or newer UEFI, or maybe even differences in the chip. So a little bit of a fumble there. But overall, impressive, really impressive engineering. The GPUs were not quite as impressive. The GPUs are like the first step in, like, they look promising. So, like, when AMD launched their new microarchitecture in 2017, like, was in our little skit, the new GPUs are kind of like that. So, it's like they're the first iteration. And they're not the fastest thing out there, but they're really promising. And they are actually the fastest for media encoding.
Which is fairly impressive.
Yeah, but you can get, you know, RTX 2070 level performance for, you know, $350, $400, which is pretty good. You can either,
I'm all about budget options, so...
Yeah, you can get a little bit more performance for the same money, or a little bit less performance for less money. So, it's pretty awesome. And then NVIDIA's got Super that they're trying to respond with, but they missed a little bit on that. So, it's... I don't know, it's sort of
the
fun.
Competition's good for us.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And Intel also had this memo. So, Hot Hardware has... Intel internal memo details fiercest challenges versus AMD in over a decade. So... Intel's done a pretty good job scrubbing this memo from the internet. You can still find copies of it out there, but this article is about the contents of that. And it was like, AMD is a formidable, you know, whatever. And it came out before the processors actually launched it in the memo. It was like, Intel expects that AMD is still going to have really good multi-core performance because AMD's just been throwing cores at it like crazy. And they've been doing it. And it's good. But they're like, Intel's probably still going to win in single-thread and lightly-threaded stuff. It's like, oh, or not.
Awkward.
Awkward. So that's sort of fun.
They're coming for you.
Yeah. So this hot hardware article's got some cool stuff. There's Lisa Su, and I bet she's
I love
on top
the memes
of the
with Lisa Su. Bless her heart, because I'm sure she doesn't really care about it. But oh my gosh, they're so funny.
Oh, I should have cut in the GIF. Okay.
The one that what's his face made?
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the artist right now. We've retweeted his stuff before. He did some work for us.
Oh, I've got to find that. This is probably going to be an awkward cut.
This is going to be an awkward cut, Grant, our poor editor.
And it's old, too, so I don't know if I even am
it would
be
a, there's a link to that guy on... we're going to scroll through Wendell's Twitter feed.
No, where is it at?
You tweet more than the level one account.
By a lot.
I usually retweet your stuff sometimes. And then, you know, if we run a contest or anything, or if there's something cool on the forum. There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Brian. I knew his name was Brian, but I couldn't remember his last name.
Yes, Brian. Thank
switch,
you, Brian.
Switch over so they can see it.
I have to switch over at exactly the right moment, you see.
Oh.
So.
It'll repeat.
There we go.
There it is.
So thanks, Brian.
Not only like is it a really good piece of pixel art, but it's also animated and it's fantastic.
This is literally exactly how it has been with the Ryzen launch. It's amazing. It's just super amazing.
You guys check out the rest of his work. He's done some cool stuff, including some stuff of us, including one where Ryan's passed out drunk as a pixel man.
It's neat. So, you know, not to be outdone, but India launched a processor too.
Great.
India's first CPUs are ready for app development. This is, of course, based on RISC-V. So look at that. They got the plucky little RISC-V CPU. What was it called? It was like Shakti? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Probably not. That looks like how it's pronounced, but...
They've got different classes. There's like a low power class and like 0.2 to 1 gigahertz and then up to 2.5 gigahertz, up to 8 cores. And, you know, this one with like L4 cache and experimental designs. So this is done by like their technical company or like their technical institute or whatever you want to call it. So, it looks promising. I mean, it's RISC-V. I always like looking at RISC-V news because that's like the open source microprocessor. And the more people that do stuff with RISC-V, the more rich that ecosystem becomes, the more likely it is more people will do stuff with RISC-V. It's pretty brilliant, really. So,
I trust your opinions on... some of the hardware stuff.
Our next story is
I feel bad because I can't offer as much insight.
Our next story is kind of design related.
A little bit.
Because Johnny Ive has left Apple, but that's not the news. The news is that Apple...
To include a new scissor switch keyboard in 2019 MacBook Air and 2020 MacBook Pro.
So this means the butterfly keyboard is gone, which was probably a point of contention with Johnny Ive, although maybe not.
Most of the stuff I know, I didn't actually know he was involved with too much of the hardware design. I remember a few years ago, he did a lot of the graphic design and like the UI design and started adding all the gradients and stuff. And like the design blogs I followed loved making fun of that. And now everyone uses it everywhere. Like that style is ubiquitous. So
it just seems like it's so not, what's the word? Like somebody put a lot of work into it. It seems like somebody just, you know,
meticulous.
It's not very meticulous. It's very haphazard.
Yeah. Well, the gradient thing, everyone was like, it's so unsubtle, and like he used super thin fonts too, which now, of course, is also in style. So.
So everybody is welcoming the idea of a new keyboard because that butterfly keyboard was terrible, unmitigated terrible.
The chiclet keyboards.
So bad.
Security. Feels so sad to type on.
Also, in business news, this entire episode is business news, pretty much. Broadcom is said to be in talks to buy Symantec, the security software maker. Yes, Broadcom is going to buy Symantec. Like, is Symantec even really relevant anymore? But this kind of makes sense because Broadcom does networks and interconnects, and it's easy to think that maybe Broadcom wants to make their silicon a little smarter and sell security appliances that have acceleration. Because, like, if you build a security appliance and you need to run through millions of rules looking for malware, doing that in software is slow.
So that's why they bought it?
Well, I mean, potentially Broadcom could make something unique by doing it more in hardware. Maybe with an FPGA, but maybe with something more exciting. I don't know. Because otherwise, I can't imagine why Broadcom would buy a software company like Symantec to do stuff. It just doesn't make sense. Unless it's to do hardware-accelerated security scanning. I don't know.
Or someone knew someone. And
it's like, oh, you can make a lot of money with this.
Yeah, some sort of weird backdoor deal.
You can get
some. That's what I expect anymore.
Pennies on the dollar. I don't know. Frontier. Ars Technica has this really amazing article about Frontier, the ISP. Frontier customer bought his own router, but he has to pay the $10 rental fee anyway.
This is so stupid because he doesn't even have it anymore. Like, it's just not a thing, but he's still paying for it every month.
Verizon, so the situation was Verizon had, like, provided service in his area, and he got a modem from Verizon. Frontier took over the area, and Frontier was like, here, have another modem. And he's like, I already have one, thanks. But they charge him anyway.
They're like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah, and so he filed a complaint with the FCC because it's like, they're charging me for a modem that I don't even have.
Well, they refunded him a couple times, right? And then they just started putting it back on his bill. They're like, no, you're paying for it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, even if you're not, even if you're not using the modem, you still have to pay for it. So you should just take one for free. And it's not really free if you're paying $10 a month.
No, it's expensive.
So this really is reminiscent. And everybody in the FCC and everybody that's involved has said, no, this is perfectly legit and fine. But isn't this reminiscent of like AT&T in the 1980s? Before the whole monopoly breakup where they said you must use only an AT&T phone to plug into your wall. And it's like that seems monopolistic. That seems anti-competitive.
But this time someone's paying the FCC money to look the other way.
It's also a little different in that Frontier doesn't actually manufacture the modems that they're using. They're using third-party modems. And it's like, no, you must use only our modems. Okay, cool, but
I think that's the loophole they used.
But you can,
like, we don't actually make them, we just want people to use our thing.
Why wouldn't you just buy it from a third party, as did the guy? Well, he didn't really buy it from a third party, he got it from his previous ISP, but
that's still it's dumb either way.
Speaking of other regulation tangentially related business-ish news, U.S. Retail Group is offering to help antitrust investigators in going after Amazon or Google. And you think about this, and it's like, this kind of, I don't know that this is necessarily yet an antitrust situation, but if you've got Amazon and Google, they can do a lot of price comparison shopping. Traditional retailers do not like that.
Yeah.
Think about how expensive retail space is. I mean, a tiny, tiny, tiny shop here in our relatively
very small Appalachian city, quote unquote,
is like $1 million. So you have to charge quite a markup to recover that much of a cost for store space.
I mean, even like I know what place you're talking about that's charging that much, but like even further east in the hometown I grew up in, a lot of places are just going out because it's like we can't bother affording the rent, so they'll just sell their stuff like on Facebook because that's easier than having a storefront.
somebody shows up in a rusted out Corolla and is like, I got your stuff.
And it's like, usually thanks. Like homemade soaps and stuff. Like that's the business I'm thinking of in particular was a homemade soap shop.
Now there are some places around here that have like the arts and crafts stuff and they do really well. They sell stuff worldwide.
Yeah. So. It seems like anything sort of boutique-y, like home decor or
turns out if rich people kind of can bottle the suffering of poor people and have it on display in their homes, they'll pay a lot for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Pay a premium for it, in fact.
Xiaomi,
if you've never heard of this, because we didn't.
They have threatened riders over Memoji's app overlap with Apple's Memoji. It's M-I-M-O-J-I versus M-E-M-O-J-I. There's a lot to unpack here. I never thought I would be doing a story about this.
This, I don't know. Like, I kind of looked at this and I was like, well, it's not that similar. I mean, the idea isn't that similar, but I do think the animation style is a little bit, or like the art style, I guess, is pretty similar.
Apple, with the iPhone X, popularized having these sort of animated emoji-like things.
That was, like, the big thing they advertised in all their advertising
campaigns. Whatever
your
facial expression is, it will be mirrored by this software. But it was actually a Chinese company that did that first.
What are the chances of them winning against Apple, though?
I think if Apple is going to sue over Johnny Ive's rounded corners, that if Apple had been first to do this, they would have just sued everybody into oblivion. And that's what Xiaomi has a problem with. A lot of writers say Apple did it first, but that's not actually true.
These do look suspiciously close.
I mean, they do kind of...
I can't decide which ones I like better.
Is this one supposed to be Johnny Ive? Because it kind of looks like Johnny Ive.
I think his hair's purple, though.
Yeah.
His hair's dark and shaved close.
Yeah. Do you use Spotify at all?
I don't. No, actually, a few news episodes ago, we had asked people, like, what their opinions of Spotify, and it was like, oh, you should get it, but maybe not now.
Maybe not now.
Spotify shuts down direct music uploading for independent artists.
So, they used to let independent artists upload your music. Like, if you're an artist and you make music, upload your music, and Spotify lists it, and then fans can find it.
Easy distribution, yeah.
And now Spotify's like, nope, not going to do that.
They need to have some sort of label. Because I don't know. I'm assuming they just don't want to deal with, like, maybe people multiple uploading and
it seems like
legal issues. And
it seems like legal issues would be the main reason. But that's really, like, the Alt Press website really doesn't talk about legal issues as, like, the main reason. So a lot of artists, a lot of independent artists were super upset. But it seemed like a lot of the context that the website provided for this article, artists were not... this was not unexpected, let's say. Based on our experience with Spotify, this makes perfect sense. So maybe if you use Spotify, consider not.
I can't say. I mean, it's probably better for the artists because I imagine they get paid at least some, but like, I usually just listen to music on YouTube, which is not great.
Well, I think
because then they get nothing.
I think that whatever the label or third party is that they might have to go through is going to want to cut. And that's probably going to be even less money for the artists. So
bad news.
Yeah. Tesla's got a little bit of a talent problem.
That's not like the least of Tesla's problems right now, but the talent problem does exist.
This is the website Electrek. Tesla's head of production is going to an EV startup called Lucid Motors. And it turns out at Lucid Motors, there's a lot of ex-Tesla employees, if this article is to be believed. And also, if this article is to be believed, Lucid Motors has $1 billion of Saudi money. Musk has got some problems.
I read that and I was like, oh. Wasn't it like $1 billion of Saudi money? Like, they had invested a lot.
Yeah, so this may not be a good thing.
Well, it'll be good for us, for the competition. It probably won't be great for Tesla, since they won't be, like, cornering the market as much anymore, but...
Were they ever? Kind of.
I mean, usually, like, when... Well, I don't know. If you ask any of my family about an electric car, they'd be like, what are you talking about? But... I think most people, when they think electric car, they probably think Tesla.
How crazy would it be if we enter a world where Tesla supplies just parts for other electric car makers? Because I could maybe be convinced that they're ahead of the curve with their battery technology. But I'm not really sure about some of the other aspects of it. And it's like, is Elon Musk the problem, or are there other systemic problems? I don't know.
There probably are other issues. I mean, it's a new newish technology, but like, I don't think Musk helps. Like, I think that makes things maybe a little bit worse because it feels unstable because he's always, like, so chaotic, at least, you know, socially. Though that might keep their name in the press. I don't know. Maybe that's good.
Here's a decidedly 21st century headline.
eBooks purchased from Microsoft will be deleted this month because you don't really own anything anymore.
How cool would it be if you bought a book and then it's like, oh, it just evaporated?
I would be very upset. Well, you know, I have a small dog. Well, she's not small, but she's done that a couple times where she's decided to shred a book when she was a puppy.
Doesn't really become evaporate.
It just becomes, just shredded all over the house. But that's only happened twice. But, so your books might just disappear. And I think you get, if you had annotated your books or anything like that, I think you get a generous $25 from Microsoft for all your trouble. People make fun of me for keeping DVDs, but...
Why is this technology so terrible? Like, why?
They're shutting down the servers. No, not all this stuff stored on, so, I mean, I guess you're just screwed.
I'm pretty sure that you could provide, like, export that file into a format that you could just read forever. That's a thing. You could totally do that, but they just won't.
They could just have, like, a download button, and they're like, no, we're not. That would be too much work. We'll just give them a $25 gift card.
Speaking of things that are too much work...
MoviePass has shut down for several weeks to update its app. They say that they're going to be back sometime, but they haven't said when. I think that that's not true. I don't think that they are coming back. Wendell is more hopeful.
I think they're probably not coming back. If they do come back, it's probably going to be about a month. They're going to try to restructure. They're not still billing people, but they say that they have to do this because they're changing the structure of the way that the company works and the way that the app works. And so the easiest thing is to basically just shut everything down and then get the new app in place and then bring everything back up again, which just, it seems like you would just hemorrhage people that are interested in your service again.
Well, and they don't really have a great history as it is. I think this is probably like the rattling death breaths of the company, but maybe I'm wrong.
You know what's really scary is that how much of the internet relies on Cloudflare.
Yeah, we ran into that. I think it was from this time, I think it was last Wednesday, that we had everything went down temporarily. Cloudflare stutters and internet stumbles.
I stutter really bad sometimes.
I just stuttered pretty bad there.
This was a bad regular expression. So a bad regular expression brought down a significant percentage of the internet. That's amazing.
The intern responsible for that has been sacked, and the person responsible for sacking him has been sacked.
It's 34.55% of the market with Amazon CloudFront in second with 28.84%. That's a lot.
We use Cloudflare.
We do. We really do.
Oh, this is the picture that you posted earlier.
Yeah, this is...
And that we spent valuable time, our viewers' time, looking up.
Look, it's good. It's going to be really quick this week because there's not a lot of news.
There's not.
Other than AMD.
Well, because there's holidays. Like, there's Canada's birthday, U.S. birthday.
There's also the NVIDIA Super launches because, you know, NVIDIA's got... They've got the... Those are the higher clocked versions of NVIDIA graphics. It's really a terrible time. If you bought Radeon 7 or... an RTX 2060, my heart goes out to you because those cards have their value has just tanked. So, except possibly for content creation. Radeon 7 is probably still good for content creation, but like gaming workloads,
that's how I felt when I did a whole new template for level 1 in Drupal 7, and then Drupal 8 was released. And now Drupal 8 is going away soon, too. I'm like,
there's a very vocal minority in the audience that's like, no, you should just implement it in X. And
oh yeah, well you get that everywhere. You know, you go on Stack Overflow and you look up a question. It's like, I need help with this thing. Like, why are you using that? You should just use this. And it's like, I don't get to choose what I'm working in sometimes. Like,
we'll just write our own CMS using Go. It'll be fine. All right, tomorrow we've got government, mostly government, and a little bit of.
Was
something
it security?
Else. I think it was security. Government and security. And then Friday, we've got Robot Social and Nonsense.
Which, those are always the best episodes, so.
And also probably about 7 more videos on all things AMD this week.
Which some of you will love, and some of you will probably be like, oh, I can't wait till they're done with that. Either way, please watch.
Yeah, check out the Megathread, because there's already 6 things there. The biggest thing is Linux. Like, newer versions of the Linux kernel don't boot on the processors. And they'll probably be fixed in pretty short order, but you can use like Ubuntu 18.04 LTS, but I don't know, it's rough. It's kind of rough. So we'll see. There's coverage on the Linux channel, so check that out. All right, we'll catch you guys later.
Bye.